We're talking about the tabernacle and its furnishings and its structure, sort of going in depth in these conversational expositions right now in the book of Exodus, chapter 26. We begin now at verse 15. But although previously, the last time we talked about this system of coverings, there were four different coverings. Maybe we could show the people the graphic of those four coverings put together. The interior one being the linen one of the cherubim, then the goat's hair, then the ram's skin dyed red, and then finally the porpoise, badger, and sea cow skin, whatever it was, in those four. But all of that had to set upon a frame, didn't it? And so that's what we're going to talk about now, the frame upon which it would stand. Somebody read starting now at verse 15.
And for the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and 1.5 cubits shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each board.
Okay, so you got the system, of boards and sockets and poles and things all interconnected. Maybe we should go back and start just with the boards themselves and as they were to be constructed. What were the boards actually made of at their core?
It says here that they're made of acacia wood.
Okay. Now, what's so great about acacia wood?
Yeah, we see it all the time here in the building. Was it just something that was very easy to get?
It was obtainable. It was out in that portion of the wilderness that they were in. But, you know, it's also an extremely hard wood, very resistant to bugs and pests and things like that. It lasts. You know, when I was in Europe living there, for years, you'd see oak beams that are more than 500 years old. Well, I've heard that acacia wood is even hardier and a harder wood than even oak. And so it was just a good, good building material. Probably wasn't so easy to work with, but you could do it. So that's at the core. What's around each board? Maybe we could show people the graphic and kind of give them the idea here. Around it is gold, isn't it? The covering of gold put upon a foundation of silver. But the foundation has 2 parts to it.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? The foundation of God's work there at the tabernacle was to be on 2 parts for each board. I wonder if that's not speaking to us prophetically of the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Wow.
God's work among Jew and Gentile. Both there, 2 different parts, resting on that. But there's also some significance in it being a foundation of silver. What does silver speak of in the Scriptures?
Throughout the Scriptures, we see silver speaking of redemption.
Right.
Redeemed.
So literally, the tabernacle was built on the foundation of redemption.
Wow.
Then the preciousness of gold, the strength of acacia wood, but then it's also joined together by a system, coupled together. Yes, bars that were used to join together. Maybe we should talk about that starting at verse 26.
It says, and you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain.
Okay, now, so you have this structure sort of taking shape. And from the dimensions given of the boards and that, we can sort of calculate how big the tabernacle was. How big of a tent are we talking about?
Not very big, really. I mean, I think we always envision something huge and large, but maybe something like, what do we have here? Maybe you thought 15 feet by like 45?
15 feet wide. People think maybe about 45 feet long. And you're talking about maybe 12 or 15 feet tall. Okay, so you're talking about this building that's not particularly huge. I mean, it might fit into the building, the room we're in right now. Hmm. So you're not talking about a huge, massive building, but precious.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be big to be precious, right? Hmm. There's so much gold. This little tent, so to speak, and all of its accoutrements worth more than $13 million.
Wow.
I just wonder, you know, you think about a modern-day building project like that. You know, you want to spend this much money on a building this big? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But it just kind of shows that God's appreciation of things doesn't necessarily follow man's appreciation of them.
Mm-hmm. And really kind of hidden. Again, I mean, we just talk about the coverings that over it. I mean, this gold, these poles, these planks, weren't really visible to the eye.
Not to the outside, from the inside of the tabernacle, but only priests could go into the inside of it. They could see the gold, but that's right. And in a lot of times, God's most precious work in the life of somebody is hidden.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly worry about that today in our days of social media, where you can tweet and Instagram and Facebook and all this. I'm not saying those things are bad, but so often we're quick to talk about the interior work that God's doing in our lives. You know, sometimes it's better just to just to be quiet about it. Just to let God do his work without, you know, squawking about it to everybody. And this is really something from the outside, there wasn't much to see with the tabernacle, but on the inside, oh, how precious. Oh, what an interior life with God it reflected.
And at the same time, we mentioned, beginning this series a little bit ago, where did God begin the description? Was on the inside. The Ark of the Covenant was the first thing he talked about.
Starts there and works out.
Yeah.
But there's also a theme of strength here.
Yeah.
Not only do you have acacia wood and a silver foundation and gold around, but you have it linked together by these bars. I think we got an interesting graphic for the people there, a depiction of how one of the bars even ran right through the middle, and there were hooks on the exterior that held the bar. I mean, this was something that was stable. It hung together. It wasn't going to be soon shaken.
I think the boards were like space, kind of like we envision. We have like, you know, 16-inch studs, you know, for our walls. You think it was more like totally together, like a solid?
Nate, from my study, this is kind of a debate among Bible scholars. If those boards were continuously joined to each other or if there was a gap between the boards. Yeah. I tend to think that they were more just right next to each other. The model that we're using to show people, to kind of give people a visual idea of what these are about, it also shows, we can show that model to them too right now, show them how they depict it with the boards being right next to each other. But that's kind of what it would look like, at least according to this artist's description of the boards being joined right together. But you take a look at that, that's strong. That's not going anywhere.
I mean, you see you see the support on the outside, but there's also that invisible support on the inside, which is kind of an interesting thought that God, in his wisdom, knew this would be how I was going to construct the
strong on the outside and strong on the inside. It's very significant, especially because more than other parts of the tabernacle, we have sort of a permission to talk about how we, in a sense, represent the tabernacle, in this sense. Later on, the Bible will tell us in the New Testament that we are a temple being built to God, living stones being assembled together. And since there's a continuity between the tabernacle and the temple, we can kind of say that this is sort of a picture of how God wants his people to be. Not only strong on the outside, strong on the inside as well.
Yeah.
And maybe with some of the glory and the shine and the luster hidden. It doesn't have to be right out front for everybody to see. And then what's another aspect that you could kind of highlight in regards to this? Wouldn't you say a unity? Wasn't it that it could be one tabernacle? God wanted there to be a unity and a connection between his people.
Wow.
I think these are very significant themes that we find throughout this whole thing, talking about the very structure of the tabernacle. What you have here, think about it, just like the community of God's people today, what's the tabernacle founded upon?
Redemption.
Yeah. What's it covered with?
Precious
gold. What's it joined together as? You know, on the inside and the outside.
Yeah.
And it's joined together strong.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it'd be a very practical reason for such a strong structure as well.
Well, being in Israel, I mean, there would be some pretty nasty weather.
Storms, you know, the extreme weather that it would have to deal with, all of that. Yeah, and it's the same way in our life. That's why God wants us built on such a strong foundation and with such solid walls. Okay, great stuff. Next, we're going to take a look at a couple of coverings, two barriers in here, but that's for us next time when we get into chapter 26. So we'll break here and pick it up.